Good morning, everybody that's joining us. We're just going to give it a minute for everybody to pile in. If you can see James and myself on the screen and you can hear me okay, feel free to pop something in the chat box. You should have a nice still image of Rowan there as well. Ah, here we go. We can be seen and heard, James. We're all good. So we'll just give another 30 seconds for people to join. Hope everybody's well on this. What day is it? Is it Tuesday today?
It's a Tuesday, yeah.
It's and Tuesday
today. Weather's not great outside where I am.
No, pretty cloudy here as well. But that's the problem with lockdown, isn't it? You lose all sense of days of the week. But it is Tuesday, so I hope everybody is well on this Tuesday morning. We've had at least two people confirm they can see and hear us, so that's good. I'm assuming everybody else can as well. So I'm just going to share my screen so we can get ready to kick off. I'm recording already, Rowan, so we'll have to do some editing here. So let me start my slides. Okay. Right, I think we'll get cracking. So good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us this morning. I'm joined today by James Byrne. Good morning, James.
Hello, everybody. Hello.
And we are here to talk about the role of practice management, why it's so important. James is going to take the time to talk through some of his journey, why he felt that it was necessary to whilst running a practice or working in practice, build a piece of software as well. And we're going to give a quick overview of what accountancy manager does, with a real focus on onboarding, because I know as a firm owner, the challenges of dealing with that fairly manual process of bringing clients on board. I've briefly introduced James. James will give a fuller introduction of himself in just a moment. For those that don't know me, my name is Will Farnell. I set up Farnell Clark back in 2007. A year or so ago, I co-founded App Advisory Plus. And our vision is to help accountancy firms make sense of the app ecosystem and deliver profitable app advisory. So I've already touched briefly on what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about why purpose-built practice management solutions are so critical and most importantly, how they can help with onboarding clients. James and I have got some similar stories and similar approaches to this, so we'll touch on that before we get into a bit of a demo. Plenty of opportunity for Q&A, so if you have any questions as we go through, pop them in the Q&A box on the bottom of your screen. There's a Q&A. Do pop anything in there. Rowan's monitoring that as well, and we will get for as many of those questions as we can. So James, do you want to tell everybody a bit about who you are, what you did and what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Will. I should probably mention that if my lights go off in this room, they're on a timer and I might start frantically waving behind me to get the lights to come back on. So apologize for that. I'm James Byrne, head of accountancy manager. My experience came from an accountancy practice previously. My father was a HMRC senior district tax inspector. 97 he set up a firm and I joined him in 2010. And going through sort of learning the ropes and also having to have some involvement in growing the business from a marketing perspective, we came up with a number of different strategies and started to onboard a number of new clients. And it kind of began the journey, actually. It's when I first approached my business partner, Alex Hawke, who's the CTO at Accountancy Manager. where we actually built a software first off, which was to generate leads for the accountancy practice. And I guess really what happened there was that we brought on a number of leads over that process. We were using Excel still at that time to manage our client list, and we were still going through a very manual process of onboarding clients. And I approached him and said, hey, do you want to try and build a new software with me where we sort of sat in the practice, you can sit alongside me, and as problems arise, we'll create the solutions for them. And for me, the journey all started with onboarding new clients. But ultimately, really, the place I was trying to get to was I was trying to save myself time on the administrative level so that I could invoice more clients. I mean, ultimately, I wanted to be able to either invoice more clients or spend more time with my children and with my family. And coming up with a software that would allow us to do that made perfect sense. Unfortunately, it seemed that when we came to the end of that process, although it's a continually ongoing process, I suppose, we obviously worked in a similar way to how other accountants did, because you know people signed up and felt like they'd experienced the same problems. And very much so, I think, you know, we talk about a purpose-built practice management software like Accountancy Manager. For obvious reasons, really. I mean, the setup time is greatly reduced, going on to the fact that it operates in the way that accountants would expect it to operate in. And I wanted a complete package as well. I didn't just want just an onboarding package. I wanted to try and find a way that we could also manage the task list and also communicate with clients and automate those communications where possible. Again, just reducing as much administration time as possible. So that's kind of where the journey began, if you like, for me, and kind of took us to where we are today with Accountancy Manager. I think that probably gives a pretty straightforward oversight of where we're at.
And James, why build? Why didn't you just go and buy something off the shelf?
The main reason was I couldn't find a product that did what we did.
and that was exactly the answer I wanted you to give, because certainly you know, and some of the others watching might know that we did the same thing at Final Clark. So we built, we hunted high and low for something, pre-accounting manager, of course, for something that would do the things that I wanted. And for me, it was very much about managing client relationships, but it wasn't CRM in the sense of a sales CRM solution. It was about how can we have a central hub that holds all of our client data, particularly around email and tasks were the big issue for us, right? We had 30 odd staff with 30 siloed mailboxes, and it was like, how do we know who's spoken to what client at what time? And we looked around and we couldn't find anything either. And we thought, we'll build a bit for this. And then it kind of grows, doesn't it? Into you think, well, actually, if we could do this as well. But that was exactly the point that, and it's a problem, I guess, with practice management, isn't it? That everybody perhaps has their own idea about how they want to run their practice. And it's like, well, what are we doing? Are we selling part of a process as well as a piece of software here, in terms of this is what we think is the right process to run a practice, and we're going to give you technology tools that help you do that?
Exactly. Yeah, 100%. It's everybody works a bit differently, but we do our best to try. I mean, initially, obviously, we built a system that worked for our practice, but as the yes. time has gone on, you know, we've manipulated that and changed it and made it more customizable and tried to, you know, allow for as many practices that work in different ways to utilize it in the way that works best for them.
Yeah, excellent. So we want to share some data, and this was data from a survey that was conducted by 3Agent a while ago. And when James and I were chatting about what we were going to talk about today, this slide really resonated with me, particularly in terms of, if we look at this pie chart, what's the most enjoyable part of your work? So this was a question to accountants, and you'll see that the top two answers are helping clients grow their business and solving problems, and that accounts for 80%. Interestingly, you'll see that the most enjoyable part of most accountants' job is not onboarding clients, it's not filing sets of accounts, it's not all of that admin stuff that we know in reality that we end up doing a lot of. Actually, what we really get our kicks from is making a difference to clients. And this particularly resonated with me because of what's been happening over the last 3 months with COVID and lockdown and everything else. So we've got a couple of polls for you here that we'd just like you to have a think about. So poll number one, if you think about these stats here, and you think about pre-lockdown, so pre-31st of January, if you're really honest with yourselves, how much of your time do you feel that you were really spending adding real value to your clients? So pre-lockdown, if you're really honest with yourselves, how much of your working day was directly contributing to adding value to your clients? So hopefully everybody can see the poll. We've got 46% of people voted at the moment. So if everybody can pick one of the boxes. And I'm pleased to say that the way this is going at the moment is exactly the way that I expected it to go. So that's really good. Another 10 seconds for anybody that still wants to vote. We're at 72%. Vote cast 74%. Any final offers there? I shall end the poll and share the results. So let me share the results with you. So hopefully everybody can see we have a clear winner there. Less than 25%, which is kind of exactly what I hoped we would see. Not in a negative kind of way, but actually just in terms of the reality of the situation. So 80% of accountants have said that they get the most enjoyment out of helping clients, solving problems for their clients. Yet the reality is 64% are spending less than 25% of their time supporting clients. So that's poll number one. If we think about what's happened over the last 3 months, I've talked to lots of accounting firms over recent weeks. And one of the common things I'm hearing from those firms is that they're saying, I generally talk about growth and are you growing and everything else. And lots of people say we haven't really grown, but what we have noticed is that we're building really high levels of goodwill with our clients. Our clients are really positive about the support we've been offering them. Now, I'd expect that. And I think there's a correlation here, which I hope is the second poll is going to prove, in that we're talking to our clients more. So over the last 3 months, we've been really busy sharing government guidance, updating clients on what government's doing to support with the economic impact of COVID. And it means that we're going out and we're having more regular touch points to our clients. So we've got a second poll and I'm asking that same question. So what proportion of your time have you spent adding value to your clients during lockdown? So if you think, again, realistically, honestly, how much of your time over the last 3 months have you been directly adding real value to your clients? So we'll give 30 seconds. Everyone's on the ball this time. 50% have voted already. So hopefully everybody can see. So during lockdown, over these last 3 months, assuming you've not been furloughed, how much of your time has been spent directly having a positive impact on your clients? 69%, so almost at the same kind of votes that we had a moment ago, 71%. So another 10 seconds. Okay, let's end that poll and share the results. So I'm delighted to say that it's gone in the direction that I had expected it to. So we are nearly 75% of people on this webinar have effectively seen an increase in the amount of time they've spent adding value to their clients. So if nothing else that you take away from this webinar, having more regular touch points with your clients means that you're going to to do more of the stuff that accountants enjoy doing, helping clients grow, solving problems for their clients. Now, I know that the reality of this is likely to be that we've spent all of this extra time doing this stuff, supporting our clients, and other stuff has suffered because we only have so much time in the day. So we need to make sure that we're doing this stuff to add value, but equally, we're looking at doing less of the stuff that stops us doing that in an ideal world. So if we take that as an example, this is a survey that James ran. James, do you want to talk through your approach on this survey and what else you did and some of the results?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So we wanted to run a survey to find out the sort of numbers around, you know, how Accountancy Manager had helped our users the most since the start of March. And I guess, again, as we'd expect, you know, nearly 50% of those came back saying bulk emails, which is, you know, communication basically with their clients, which was obviously going to be necessary with COVID. And then we've got the task and deadline management coming in behind that, sort of a quarter of it, and sharing documents in there as well. So kind of all of that combined, there are all those administrative tasks that with the likes of COVID being around and having to deal with more tasks that have had to have been generated as well as communication with clients, they're sitting at the top of the list there. And it, you know, it's great to see that Accountancy Manager was able to assist with some of those tasks, you know, during this period.
Yeah. So these last three slides have really just been about, for me, emphasising the importance of communication with clients, the importance of touch points with clients, because that delivers greater client experience. That's the only thing that we as accounting firms should be focused on. How do we deliver better experiences for our clients, and how can we use technology to free us up to do more of that stuff? This isn't a we've got to move to advisory conversation. This is a we've got to do we've got to improve the experiences we deliver to clients, and if that means making the compliance stuff more efficient, more automated, that's great. And that's not to deliver advisory, it's just to have better conversations with clients, deliver value, deliver things that really matter to them. So we've kind of positioned this, James, as we kind of move into to you sharing a bit about some of the other stuff that Accountancy Manager will do to help firms have better conversations. This whole thing about client experience, the first impression is key. And this is where we kind of swing it back to onboarding. Certainly for me in my firm, when we were going through fairly significant growth in the early years, we were taking on potentially a client a day during the course of a month. And inevitably it means that balls get dropped, stuff doesn't get done, and you only have one opportunity to make a great first impression. So onboarding is absolutely critical to setting the tone for the experience that clients are going to have. James, let me hand over to you and talk a bit about onboarding and dive into your demo.
Yeah, absolutely. So, so I mean, the onboarding process, as I said earlier, it all came about from that manual process that we were going through, which, you know, started off with having a form that we wanted the clients to fill out, which we sort of, you know, uploaded to an email and we fired that over to them. They might have printed that off and filled it out, scanned it, put it back into the email, sent it back to us. We'd update our spreadsheet with that information on it. Then we'd have to go down the lines of making sure that we'd done our ID checks, which would often be a manual process as well. We'd need them to come in, show us their passports or driving licenses. And the whole process just, I just, you know, when you talk about the number of clients, you know, that you were onboarding there, Will, you know, one a day, we might have been doing sort of two or three a week. And it was just a nightmare. And so having a process in place, and it's about, like you talked about there, it's about the client's experience as well. It's not just about us saving time. It's about the client feeling like the onboarding process of them coming on board with a new accountant is going to be seamless and straightforward, because this, as you say, is their first impression of the accountancy practice. And hopefully the relationship that they're going to have with their accountant is going to be seamless and easy and straightforward. And that's what they want from it. So some of the things that we put in place, and again, we took it from our own processes, really. It was from the phone call, and I guess I'll talk about this in the demo, but going through the, you know, being on the phone to the client, being able to take information there and then by the time you've ended that phone call, the proposal email had actually been sent out to the client, to which they could go on in their own time and maybe add some of those missing pieces of information that they couldn't give you on the phone, like those UTR numbers and those company health authorization codes, you know, those key bits of data that sometimes you can get to the point where you're filing accounts and you find that you haven't got that key piece of information and there's nothing that's flagged it up to you along that process. So we set all that up in AM. The other thing we did is create letters of engagement as well. So we used an AAT template when we first put those in, and we've modified those since. So the idea was that we provided a template. It was based off the services that you were providing to your clients. So depending on what services you provided, then the template would automatically update and only send across the relevant letter of engagement, which again, obviously a big time saver. And then a bit later down the line, having had them sign those letters of engagement, which was an e-signature on the system, they then had access to a client portal where they could upload their documents and other bits and pieces that might be a passport or a driving license. And then you had the opportunity in AM to create an AML ID check. And that was the first sort of approach that we took. More recently, literally in the last couple of weeks, we've also released credit checks for individuals as well. And you can see on the slide there that from as little as £1.25 per check, which is incredibly competitive if you've bought them in bulk. And that's the ID check. If you take a credit check on an individual, then it just takes two credits off you in the system. So as little as £2.50 for a credit check for an individual. It's also worth mentioning at this point that company credit checks is going to be released in the next week or so, which is going to be another fantastic feature. And then you sort of started to build up your AML risk assessment as well. You know, when you start doing the risk assessments, again, another feature in Accountancy Manager is conducting the AML risk assessments, which obviously would include things like the ID checks. So you can go as far as the credit checks and carrying out those other assessments as well. So it's probably also worth mentioning before we go on to the demo, there's a prospects area as well on Accountancy Manager, so you can sort of bring in your clients as a prospect initially, and then as they go through and they sign that letter of engagement, Accountancy Manager automatically transfers them to be a client within the system. So that probably gives a pretty good overview before we jump on the demo, where we're going to cover some of this stuff anyway. And
okay. Thanks.
So I'll share my screen and we'll jump straight into the demo if that's okay.
Yep, go for it. Can you do that? Yep, you got it.
Perfect. Now I'll be looking away from the screen because I'm using my other screen to do this. And I'll kick off the demo. It's a video that we tend to use, but I'll go through explaining it as we go. Obviously, if people want a more in-depth demo of the system, then the support team and the sales team are there to provide that sort of information. So we obviously just try and keep this short and sweet, just to give people a bit of a taster of what Accountancy Manager can do. So we're going to kick it off with I'm going to show off the feature of the company's house integration that we've got in place. Obviously, you can add any type of client, but if you were adding a limited company client, then we're going to go in and see the way that Accountancy Manager handles that. So we're seeing clients, new client, and you can autofill with company's house. You'd enter the company's the company name in, you'd get a selection to choose from, and then you can go on and select who the main director is going to be as well. And it auto-populates then all the information on the client page, as we can see it going in there, company details, individual details. And then as we can see here, it's also pulling in things like the company's house year-end dates. And we match the HMRC year-end date to that as well. You can edit it, but for the automation side, we've had it auto-match it. As you guys will all be well aware of, sometimes there's a misalignment and you need to go in and amend those. And we've also got the next due date and the CT600 due date as well. Now, the purpose for it bringing in the dates at this stage is actually what's happening in the background is it's starting to create a task list automatically, which is just a lovely feature within AM. As we're going through confirmation statements, as you'd expect for companies, And then you go through and select what services. So you're on the phone to the client, you've already got all their details in, it's taking you 10 seconds to sort of, or less than that, to get all their information populated. And then you're asking them what kind of services they require. And as they're telling you what those services are, you're going through and ticking those. Now, I'm showing you this based on a fixed fee accountant, but you can have a monthly fee if you want and do it that way around, which is shown a bit further down the page. I think it sort of cuts it off on this demo. But you can see that you can select the services and the fees. And at the same point, a lot, you know, alongside then, as I said, it's creating this task list. So it's actually allowing you at this stage to select which staff member. You might be a single user practice, or you might be a 30 user practice, at which point you can choose which staff user is going to be responsible to take on those tasks, which means it's going to start appearing on that user's task list. And then you can go through and see that we, in the last few months, added another option here, which was to add and create an onboarding workflow. So you can, we have templates set up in the system. The whole idea behind Accountancy Manager is it's an out-of-the-box solution ready to go. And we appreciate that accountants are often trying to find, you know, extra time to do things, and in sort of bringing in a new software, we need to make sure that that's as streamlined as possible. So the templates are already created for the onboarding workflow. You can go in and edit those. But if you use the one that we've laid out, and we can see here, you get a breakdown, and there's a few on there. I think this has been updated since this video was done in terms of the template that's available. But it just gives you an idea here in the video, some of the things as you go through and make sure that those tasks have been completed. So regarding that whole process, then you've kind of maybe got that in there, and maybe it's a bit backwards in the way that we're thinking it. We've brought on the clock, we're speaking to the client, we've selected what services we require. I was just showing you there what the task list would look like as you added that client. But actually, before that, maybe we're going to send the proposal email out to the prospect, because they haven't become a client at this stage. And what this does is it pulls in the services that you've selected, and it also pulls in the fees that you've entered as well. And like I say, if you don't want to use fixed fees like that, it will pull in the monthly fee if you change the selections when you're going through those services.
James, can I just ask a quick question here? Because somebody's asked a question on here on pricing. They've said, are you likely to bring in any pricing system where different criteria can be selected to build up the overall cost?
Yeah, absolutely. It has been a plan for a while now, and we are going to be working on it. There's quite a few exciting things happening over the next sort of, well, between now and September. So we're sort of focusing on those first, but then we are going to put quite a bit of time into the whole pricing side of things and the way that you can generate those prices within AM. Yeah.
Yeah. Great.
So as we can see then, as I was saying, we've pulled in the services, it's pulled in some fees. You can sort of have a few different variations of how you want them to view on the system as well. And importantly, I should mention again, that's a template proposal email that we've put together, but you can change the wording of all that and set it out how you like. You can also, if you don't want to put the wording onto the within the email itself, then you can contact our support team, and they can assist you by putting sort of an attached proposal onto the proposal email instead, if you prefer. Going through then onto the client side then, so the clients receive this email, they've opened the email up, and what they can see is the option to click on this online registration process link. And that takes them straight onto your letter of engagement. Again, set up as a template on your side. You can alter and edit and change it as to what works for you. And the client simply ticks and enters their name, which is a legal document there, which is then signed. And you get a copy on your side, and the client will receive a copy on theirs. And then it goes as far as allowing the client to go on and create an online portal. Now, some accountants using our product don't use the online portals. We've got lots that do. I think there's over 100,000 businesses across the UK that are actually on the Accountancy Manager portal. So plenty of people using them. And obviously there's a number of benefits with that. And one of the main benefits here is that you can do things such as allow your client then to enter in some of those missing details that I talked about earlier that you might not have been able to collect from them over the phone. Now, what this does is it automatically updates that client's details on your side. Now, some people may be a bit fearful of that. They don't want their clients altering the data that's on their system, but that's why Accountancy Manager, and we're going to see it in a minute, sends a notification to you guys, letting you know what they've changed things from and to, and what details they've put in there to allow you to review that information in case you're not happy about it. Now, the other great feature in Accountancy Manager, I think we're one of the only products that does this, is the previous accountant clearance email that gets sent out. Again, we've generated a template. And as you'll all know, if you have got a client going elsewhere to another accountant, it's not something that people tend to prioritize. They're obviously focused on those fee-earning clients that are providing, you know, that are providing them that business. And so when you get those previous accountant clearances, sometimes they can go to the bottom of your priority list. So Accountancy Manager realizes this, and so on your behalf, will regularly remind the previous accountant to provide that information until you get to a stage where you've received it, at which point you just select that you've received that information and those reminders will stop. And you can select the frequency of those reminders and such like as well. So just a cool little feature, again, to save you guys time. Going on from there, there's a few pieces of extra information you can fill in. And then it takes us on to the client's portals page. Now, this for me was like the welcome email that we used to send out to customers once they'd come on board. Instead, they now get a welcome page. And again, this is all editable information, which is on a template. You can change that to suit you. And we can see at the top there, we've got document portal to allow them to share documents with you. They can also see a list of their deadlines to save them contacting you regularly and saying, when's this due, when's that due? And you can also brand up this whole portal with all your own branding as well. And one of the features that's in the pipeline being built by my development team is not just to be able to brand up the client portal, but also to use your URL on the accountants portal as well. So at the moment, it might be, you know, accountancymanager.co.uk, and it sort of logs in onto the portal there for them when they're looking at that URL. But with the new development that's in the pipeline, you can have your accountant's URL web address basically showing up there. And not only that, but a number of accountants, quite a few accountants actually, you can add, if you've got a web developer or something, you can actually add a button on your website that says log into the client portal, and you just click on that button and they can log straight into that Accountancy Manager portal, which is just another way to streamline that process and make it feel a bit more like it's your own. So going on from there then, it's a 5-minute video, but it's taken us probably 10, 15 minutes to get through it. We can see there then there's one of the first notifications that's come in has told you that the client has signed and agreed the terms of engagement. Now, if they do that, the system will automatically move them from a prospect into a client. And you can sort of choose what you do with these notifications. In this instance, you're just going to archive it. And it tells us the next notifications I spoke about a moment ago, which says what they've changed things from and to. And there's a number of different settings around all of this as well. If you don't want them to complete that form, you can hide it so they don't complete that form. Or as I said, you know, you may not want them to complete the portal side at all, in which case you can turn that feature off as well. So we've all done all onboarding in this first initial stages, and then it goes on to the AML ID check. So we can see here that when you go to, once you've added that client into your system, there'll be an option under the director's name that says generate ID check or credit check. And you can go through here, select the details. It will auto-populate then that form for you once you've selected which client it's relevant to. And then you can see here at the bottom that you've got the option to perform an ID check, which is one credit, or perform the ID check and credit screen as well, which will give you an oversight of that client and probably a bit more relevant during this COVID time. You might want to make sure that new clients coming on board are going to be able to afford your fees if you're carrying out work for them. So it's a good process to have in there for the credit check as well. And then what we see after having done all of that process is what's being generated in the background. And we can see here then that this, that the task list has been generated. It's going to drop down here and we're going to see, I think it's going to take us down to the client itself. Maybe it won't in this new video that we've put together. a number of different options around the task list where you can select, isolate just the service, maybe just accounts, self-assessment tax returns, VAT returns, whatever it might be. My favorite sort was 30-day deadlines and then records received. There was a nice color scheme then that we put together. Black was overdue, you can see on the deadline column there. Red was due on the day, orange was due within 7 days, and yellow was due within 30. Anything that didn't fall in those first 30 days didn't have a color scheme on them.
And we can I just jump in with another quick question there, James, one that's popped up here as I'm just kind of keeping an eye on them as we go through. So Richard's asked, can we see reporting, please? Want to see how a partner manager can monitor outstanding jobs rather than tasks. So is that almost what you were talking about there in terms of the way that a manager can view jobs? You talked about services, but I'm assuming Richard talks about jobs. He's talking about a VAT return, a set of accounts, or so on.
Yeah, so you can isolate. I mean, you don't have an overview, if you like, where it sort of summarizes the number of, but instead you can sort of isolate the task list to tell you sort of how many, maybe there's a number of tasks which need reviewing. You can isolate all the tasks that have got the progress note that say to review. You can isolate them per staff member. You can look at them all at once, or you can isolate just the services or jobs as a whole, so that you haven't just got a ginormous task list with lots of information on it. You can sort of edit it and change it around and filter it to your needs.
Great.
So what we can see here, we stopped at a good place, and we can see there's the British Gas Trading Client Limited that we added earlier on. There's also a lovely little red exclamation mark. So as I talked about earlier, we wanted a system that highlighted very clearly when there was a task which we wouldn't be able to complete because we were missing a piece of information. And in this instance, we can see Companies House authorization code by clicking on that red information mark. And there's also, like the UTR number, if you're missing ID, then you shouldn't be carrying out any work for those clients. So all of that sort of stuff is included with those red exclamation marks, and it's relative to the service as well. So on the right hand side, then we've got the ability to update the progress note. Now you can manually put progress notes on, or you can use some of our pre-populated sections there as well. We've got part records received in there. Records requested is one of the automation features, which is a great one, but we've also got part records received. I believe we're the only product doing this on the market as well, where as accountants, you probably know as well as I do, unless you were fortunate to have a perfect client, which I don't think there is such a thing, whereas you're missing that final bank statement, and that would happen time and time again, and you wouldn't be able to finalize those accounts. So what we brought in was part records received. If they thought they'd sent you all the information, but hadn't, you could select part records received. A lovely little box pops up, and you can type in that box, maybe the bank statement and the date, and save it, and then the automated emails will continue to send out to those clients, say thank you for all the information that you provided to us, however we are still missing the following, and then break down those different items. And there's a few other things in there as well, and they generate different automation tools as well, which, you know, to get a bit more of an overview, you'd want to have a full demo for that kind of stuff. But we can see here that we've just selected a records received, and it's automatically then shoved that task right up to the top there at the bottom of the records received tasks. So reordering your task list automatically for you in an order that you would expect. It's also worth mentioning at this point that you could see there that there was a deadline on the task page. If we just go back there, we can see the deadline column on the right-hand side. A big feature that's been requested for a long time, and I completely get it, which is why in the next few days, or in the next release, which is coming in the next few days, we're going to see target dates. So for all of you out there that said, right, well, we've got the hard deadline, which is great, but actually we like to complete accounts 6 weeks after the deadline end, or 7 days after we receive the records, or whatever it might be. Target dates being introduced in the next few days. Then you can set your own internal target dates, as you'd expect, yeah, taking the pressure off on those deadline dates. And not only that, but we've brought in a default, because we love automation accountancy manager. The default settings are that you can literally set how many days after the period end, or how many days after the records have been received, or of course, enter a custom target date. I see you laughing there, Will. Is that something that you kind of, you relate to with?
Yeah, absolutely. It's this whole thing about we're kind of driven by a date. And so often, so many people are driven by the statutory deadline date, which again, if we focus on client experience, is not what we should be focusing on. So it's really good to hear that you've got that flexibility there.
Fantastic. Okay, so going on from there then, we're going to see the same thing again. I'm sorry to go back. Okay, I'm back. Sorry, I'm jumping all over the place. Client timeline, audit trail. Okay, so with the audit trail, it's an audit trail of communication basically between you and your clients. And you touched on it, Will, earlier. You talked about, you know, knowing when somebody had contacted a client and having that information somewhere in one place, and why you guys maybe built a system. And that's exactly what Accountancy Manager did in the same fashion. You can send out SMS as well as emails, and all of this information then is stored on the client timeline. So we can see here, timeline, we're on British Gas Trading, you've got a number of different tabs, timeline along the way there. And on this timeline, you've got a varying amount of information from field changes. So those are the things where you or one of your staff members or your clients have maybe updated some of the fields on the client info page. That would show on here, emails, SMS, time that's been logged, notes and logs and documents all stored in one place. And for me, what that meant is if I was about to contact a client, I would go to my timeline first, because what if another staff member that morning had contacted that client and had already covered some of the things I was going to call up and talk about? So to have a timeline in place was a really wonderful feature. And it's sort of just going to take us through and show us those just there. We can see there, we've got the risk tab just at the top as well, where you can carry out those AML risk assessments. And again, we're spending a bit more time there. It just so happens we're very fortunate to have somebody working alongside us who was a HMRC investigator for AML and for anti-money laundering. And he's come on board with us to assist us with the risk page. And he's spending some time with us on that. So we're going to a really big launch for that in the next month or so, where we're doing a bit of extra time on that and also adding some reporting to that. So when your body say, you know, can you give us how many low risk, medium risk and high risk, you're going to be able to do all of that within Accountancy Manager in the very near future, which is a wicked feature. So jumping over from the audit trail of communication, then we've also got the automation. So the automation was obviously a way to save as much time as we possibly could. And some people are a bit fearful that maybe, oh, using automation, it sort of loses that client experience. You can tailor those emails in a way that the clients aren't really aware that they're automated emails, and still keep that going. And to be honest, I think the clients would prefer to have regular contact with the firm, which the automated emails allows you to do without having to keep on top of it yourself, rather than always having to send manual ones. And it might be that you only want automation for some clients and not for others. Maybe you've got some humongous clients in your database that you've got a real personal relationship with. And for those ones, you might think, you know what, I'm just going to keep those ones out. We won't do automation with those, but we'll do it with the rest. So you've got those options as well. And it's just going to show us here, you can tick these different automation features on. So automatic part records chasing, the automatic approval chasing, big one for me, it's the 31st of January, you've got 100 self-assessment tax returns outstanding, you sent them weeks ago, you haven't had those approvals, and Accountancy Manager is the system that's going to remind those clients to say, we need your approval, we need your approval. I'm sure you can all relate to that. Again, I saw you smiling there, Will, so I'm sure that's something that you've experienced, like I'm sure we all have. Previous accounting clearance we've talked about. The other one is, I love this feature. I wish HMRC would give us a bit more connection to their systems. The automatic tax payment reminders. Okay, you do have to manually enter in the tax due amount for the 31st of January, for instance, or the 31st of July, or the corporation tax amounts. But rather than your clients ringing you up when they've missed their payment and saying that it's your fault that you didn't tell them, and you say, well, I did tell you, I told you 6 months ago when I sent you the accounts, you know, this is why, again, we've brought in the tax payment reminders, so that building up to that payment time when it's due, the system is continually reminding those clients so they can't come back at you and say, hey, you never told me. Another great little feature in there. Automatically sending SMS alongside emails. I love that one. I still get it today because I'm now a client of the practice that I was working for originally, and they're obviously using Accountancy Manager. So maybe I haven't submitted my confirmation statement, and suddenly I get a text message to my phone saying, James, we still haven't had you know, the information for the confirmation statement, or, you know, your accounts need to be submitted. We need your records, whatever it might be. And for some reason, text message makes me deal. If it's an email, I just star it. I say, I'll come back to that later. But when it's a text message, I don't have that ability. So I always tend to focus on it then, which is a lovely little feature. agent authorization code. We've all been there as well. You know, we get the information, we submit it to HMRC, they send off the code to the client, it expires after a period of time. The time passes, the client says they never received it, or they did receive it, but they forgot to give it to you, and you have to go over the whole process all over again. So what we did is we built the reminder system in there so that it will continually remind them over that 30-day period to get that piece of information to you. And then finally, when I was working in the practice, another great feature which I loved was that I, as a manager, would get an SMS text message on the day of, say, a company's house accounts deadline. I thought my staff had dealt with it. They hadn't, maybe. I'd get a text message on my phone at 9 o'clock that morning. These accounts haven't been filed. And that feature in itself, you know, when we talk about no more missing deadlines, if you've got that feature turned on, you should never miss another deadline. So I don't know how we're doing for time. Let's just have a quick check there. Right, I'll try and wrap this up towards the end though. So we've got the ability to register clients on the portal. I'm gonna try and let this run through as it goes, because if you want a bit more of a detailed demo, like I say, you're gonna be able to get that through the support and sales team, and I'm conscious of time and getting some questions in there. So you can do the 64.8 through the system as well, although we've got to build a slightly new one for the MTD side of things, but for some of them you're able to do that for. Fees, projection and breakdown. So we've got some reporting facilities in here. Now, one of the great things that we did with the integrations with Xero, QuickBooks, I know there'll be people on here saying, where's QuickBooks? You know, we promised it, you know, a fair while ago now, and we've had a lot of changes going on internally to allow us to get to that stage. So in the next few weeks we should have that in testing, and then we'll be able to do some beta testing. But one of the great features about these integrations is we are the only purpose-built, as Rowan wrote up for App Advisory Plus, we are the only purpose-built practice management system for two-way sync between invoicing for Xero and soon to be QuickBooks as well. And what that means is you can either do your invoicing in AM, which is really easy off the back of the task list, and push those into those softwares, or you can pull in the invoices from, say, Xero and QuickBooks. And if you're logging time in Accountancy Manager, now that's not because you're charging time necessarily, but to give you an overview of how much time you're spending on your tasks, it will tell you how profitable your clients are, which is an incredibly valuable piece of information. And we can see here, this is just telling you what the firm as a whole might, you know, would be maybe doing over the course of the year. It breaks it down per staff member and obviously down into the services as well. You can obviously track, as we've just talked about, you can track time. It's on a stopwatch fashion, so it goes up. Literally, you just hit time log and it starts logging that time as you go along, which is great. You can see who's currently logging time if you want that overview. Would have been great for the COVID period when people have been working from home. If you do monitor, you know, whether or not your staff are working or not, we can see here all these guys monitoring time. And I think it's Angela or someone down the bottom here. There we go, not logging any time at the moment. You might want to focus on that. And then we've got the internal notification system. So rather than the post-it notes that we used to send around our office or sending in emails where they're not really logged anywhere, we had all of this and it logs it to the client's file if you've selected a client, or you've obviously got a log of these notifications that you're sending between other staff members. You can be told when they've read your notification, when they've archived it, if they're sort of telling you they maybe hadn't seen it. And you've also got the urgent notification in there as well. So if you do mark a notification as urgent that you're sending to another staff user, big red banner appears across the top of the page. Doesn't matter which page they navigate to, that's not going anywhere until it's dealt with. You might respond, or you might forward it to another staff member, create a task, or go ahead and archive it if you've dealt with it. Easily filtering of the client list. So again, this is about those communications that we talked about at the beginning, where you can mass email your clients based on services. If you could isolate it right down to, say, the flat rate VAT clients that you wanted to email. You can also create custom services on the client file, which allows you to create additional tabs and such like, which you can then filter using your client list as well by, which means you might want to just isolate 10 specific clients because maybe they're all using Xero or Free Agent or whatever it might be, and you want to email them specifically about something or a software update, whatever else it might be. Invoicing and work in progress then. So you can do your invoicing in AM. You can also log your work in progress if you haven't invoiced for that time yet, generate the invoice, or you can export that work in progress as well if you're wanting to use alternative softwares to deal with your invoicing. You can see their basic invoicing structure. If you do turn on Xero Sync or QuickBooks Sync, then the formatting of the invoice completely changes. It actually changes to the same format that Xero and QuickBooks are using, just to keep that synchronization going. E-signing and document portal. So as we've talked about, you can upload documents, you can request e-signatures. You've also got folders which you can put your documents into that then replicates the same on your client's portal side as well, which was a new feature that we recently brought out, just to keep that organization and simplicity going for you and your clients. Custom forms, as we come to the end then, we've got custom forms particularly built for those self-assessment clients is why we built it, which is why we built a self-assessment template for custom forms, which you can go in and edit if you like, but I expect it's probably got everything on there that you need. And that allows you to send out what you might have sent out as a checklist. You can now send out through Accountancy Manager as a document for them to complete, upload documents to, and submit it back to you. You can then check that document. If you're unhappy, you can send them back a notification email saying, hey, you haven't quite given us everything, we need this, and then they can go through the process again. You can go back and forth within AM on that document, which is another great little feature. It just shows you sort of manipulating the, there we go, there's a self-assessment checklist that gives us a few different pieces. And you can also add those little exclamation marks on that we can see there on 17 that actually explain what we're asking for, because clients often come back, what does that mean? What does this mean? So we brought in the little information marks there as well and save the draft or complete and send. And as we can see then, as a summary, it's truly an out-of-the-box CRM for accountants. We've barely touched on all the templates that we offer there, but all the fields required by accountants and bookkeepers, which is why we talk about a purpose-built practice management system, pre-populated templates, communication automation, and pre-populated letters of engagement. And of course, the whole thing is GDPR compliant. And that takes us nicely to the end then, Will. I'll rush through as quickly as I could. Sorry.
Thank you, James.
A lot of time.
we've got some questions, so let's just rattle through the questions. Easy one to start with. Charlie's asked, can we get a link to the full onboarding video that you've shown so that it can be watched back in full later on? Is that something you've got available? Can we share
To be honest, if people go to our homepage, most of that is actually shown on a lovely introductory video that we have on the homepage. But we're also going to send out the recording of this session, aren't we, Will?
Yes.
To everybody.
Recording. Great. Question from Roz. You talked about billing. Roz has asked, what about direct debit integration or integration with something like Practice Ignition? Otherwise, we're back to chasing invoices. Alongside that, in the chat, there's been lots of discussion, as you might expect, about integration with tools like GoProposal and the Practice Ignition. In fairness, it's been a mixed bag. Some people are saying, well, actually, they'd quite like to do it in AM. Other people are saying that I'm always going to use GoProposal or Practice Ignition for proposals. So spend your time on that. You can't. It's really difficult to please everybody, isn't it?
So what we've got is James Ashford doesn't want me to say too much, but that kind of says enough in itself that, you know, things are going on there. I've actually got a call scheduled with him after this demo today. We've already done a number of different things. You know, I he wants me to be a little bit hush-hush about it, so I don't want to say too much. But okay. What I can say is things are happening there. Also, and I'm not just saying this, I have had a conversation with Trent this morning from Practice Ignition. We're bringing in a Zapier integration, which allows, you know, some very, very basic integration with Practice Ignition. I mean, if I've spoken to Trent and said, I would like a more comprehensive integration than what Zapier provides. He said, yeah, absolutely, I agree. But Practice Ignition are doing quite a lot behind the scenes. They've got some new developments coming in the pipeline. Yeah. And we've both talked about picking that further integration possibility up towards the end of this year. So we're going to discuss that more at the end of the year. But in the meantime, we're going to bring out a Zapier integration that will connect. Yep.
And I therefore have no doubt that Rowan will put together something around Zapier integrations with PI and Accountancy Manager once that's in place. And perhaps produce some nice flowcharts and things that we can share, showing how that might work. So that will be good. Last couple I've got here. If anybody else has got any questions, throw them into Q&A. With clients sending over copies of money laundering ID, passport, etc., are we not meant to have seen the original to confirm it's a true copy? Is this taken? Are you talking about you might take a passport number and put into a box to enable the AML search to be carried out?
Yeah, and we have. I mean, they should send you the document, definitely. But we have confirmed this and we've been over it back and forth because I felt the same way when we first started looking at doing this. I thought, surely this isn't enough. But we went to Verify, who's the sort of integrated platform that we use. They're an award-winning AML ID credit checking service, and absolutely they've said yeah, and they've sort of confirmed it with the sort of governing bodies around that as well to say this is acceptable to take this information without actually having to see them face to face. If you feel more comfortable, you can do what some products do, like say Monzo Bank, for example, where you have to do a little video, and they could send you a video of themselves with the passport to show that that is them. You know, you can take it that extra step further, and I think people have had to become more creative because of COVID anyway. But yeah, I hear what you're saying, but we've been assured that it is absolutely fine to just get a copy of that passport, put those details in, and do the electronic checks that way around.
Great. You mentioned QuickBooks integrations. Barry was asking any plans for free agent.
Free agent's already in place, so free agent's there. So Xero and free agent are both already available. Free agent and Xero, we've got a new development in the pipeline. Literally, it's in code review, so it's towards the end stages where you'll be able to use them both at the same time. So multiple integrations being used at the same time, which is really cool. But at the moment, yeah, it's one or the other. But you can use free agent, you can use QuickBooks, Xero, and you will be able to use QuickBooks in the very near future.
Perfect. Excellent. And I think the last one, James, we talked about onboarding workflows. Somebody has asked, where is the onboarding workflow stored? Is it in tasks so it can be revisited and updated? So I assume it's kind of creating that log, isn't it, of what you've done?
Yeah, there's a template section on AM. So in that template section, you can obviously rework that workflow template and make it specific to how you want it, or you can access it directly from the task list, which if it's just for a specific client, and alter it for that specific client if you want to change the way it's sort of ordered and set up.
Great, and I'm sure you'll love this one. Any change on pricing for part-time workers, i.e. bookkeepers? So I guess we're talking really micro firms where £39 a month, whatever it is, it makes it restrictive in terms of usability.
Yeah, we've got deals with ICB and Bookkeepers Alliance for bookkeepers. We appreciate that bookkeepers obviously can't charge the same amount as accountants, and we do come out with some special pricing for bookkeepers. So just contact the sales team; they will look after you regarding that. They've got my approval on those things. We have also had accountants that have got part-time staff, which we then monitor. And if that's the case, and there are part-time staff in there, we have come out with deals as well for if you've got a number of part-timers. Then again, Marcus, sort of, you know, director of sales, he's fantastic. He'll look after you guys if you've got queries around pricing.
So the key is ask the question.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think the other really important thing to mention here as well is, we are a company that provide telephone and email support, and you guys should utilize that as much as necessary. If I was to give some advice when you're getting on board with a system like Accountancy Manager, it would be put in that initial time on the spreadsheet that we provide you. You just download it from AM and you just copy and paste all your clients' details into it. Some depending on how you've got your data stored currently, it will be easier than some others that have maybe got it stored in different places. But it is so worth putting that time in. We had a 30 user practice. You may have seen some of the marketing that's gone out around it. Matthew McConnell from Certax, who's growing exponentially. And basically he said it took them a few months because of the size of their practice to get everything up and running on Accountancy Manager. But now he thinks it saves more than 150 hours per month using Accountancy Manager with all the automation tools, and they really make a lot of use out of it. So, and I've spoken to sort of single user practices that have said, look, we save between 15 and 20 hours a month. Obviously, if you've got, if you're a single user practice, you almost have to have a system like this because you haven't got anyone doing all your admin. You haven't employed an admin team member. Yep. So, so having that kind of a thing in place and spending that time initially to get set up and utilizing our support team, absolutely essential.
And finally, we have for our App Advisory Plus members, if you're not a member of App Advisory Plus, please do jump over, sign up for a free account, get access to our LinkedIn community, and so on. We're launching a new site in the next couple of weeks. We're very excited about that. So we'd love to get feedback when that happens. But we do have a 12-month offer and ongoing discounts for members. So do check that out. I think we are there. I don't think something else popped in here. Oh, I should say this, having recently started with AM and I'm a micro, it saved me so much time, worth every penny. So that's a really great way to finish on that, James. So thank you ever so much indeed, everybody, for taking the time to join us today. We will be circulating the recording of the webinar. So if you want to watch anything back and have any questions, do get in touch with James or myself, and we'll do all we can to help. But for now, have a great Tuesday afternoon, everybody. Thanks again for taking the time. Thank you, James, for joining us and taking people through AM today.
Yeah, thank you, Will, and thanks everybody for joining. Fantastic, great stuff.
Take care. Thanks very much, everyone.
Bye-bye. Bye.